Let's get to our message tonight in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I'm going to read this verse of scripture to you, and we'll work from there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. You'll recognize in the context that this is God speaking, and the person that he's speaking to is the serpent, old Satan, who came along and tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they disobeyed the Lord. And this is part of God's judgment upon them. In his statement in verse 15, this is something God said he will do, and he did it. He said, "And I will put enmity." In other words, enmity between somebody, that they're not going to like each other. They're not going to get along. They're going to have problems with one another. God said, "I'm going to put enmity between thee," that's the serpent, old Satan, "and the woman, and between thy seed," he's talking to Satan now, so this is Satan's seed he's talking about, "between thy seed," thy offspring, "and her seed. It shall bruise thy head." Now the "it" there is the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. "It shall bruise thy head, and thou," Satan, the serpent, the seed of the serpent, "shall bruise his heel." So God said, "I'll put enmity between your seed and her seed." Now the seed of the woman began with Seth, and it came on down through Noah, Abraham, David, and culminated in the great masterpiece of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of Mary, the Virgin of Nazareth, the seed of the woman. The seed of the serpent began with the evil seed of Cain, and on down through the ages, and will eventually culminate in the great masterpiece of Satan, who will be the Antichrist. As Christ was the seed of the woman, Antichrist will be the seed of the serpent. As Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, the Bible says, the Antichrist will be Satan manifest in the flesh. As Jesus, in human form, while he was here during his ministry, operated with the power of God upon his life and his ministry, so the Antichrist, when he comes in human form, will operate with the power of Satan. The book of Revelation is very clear about that. So we're looking for a personage to come who is called in the Bible the Antichrist. Now, when the Antichrist assumes power, we're told in the Bible that he will run the economy, the military, the religion, and the political spectrum of the whole world. As a politician, the Bible says that through his policy, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. As a military leader, on his white charger, He will go forth conquering and to conquer. And the world will cry out, who is able to make war with him? And as the economist, Revelation 13:17, tells us that no man can buy or sell anything except he has the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, in his right hand or in his forehead. As a religionist, he will demand the worship of the world to the exclusion of all other gods. An image of himself will stand in the holy place of the Jews' restored temple. And he will demand upon penalty of death that all peoples fall down and worship him. He exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, we're told in Revelation 13, verse 15. He is marked by opposition to God, exaltation above God, and demonstration of his deity by the wonderful works that he performs. I'm talking miracles here. Now the Bible gives us an awful lot of information about this evil genius. And I believe today that a lot of Christian people are hungry for this information. And I think that in our preaching and in our teaching, that we should give this doctrine of the Antichrist the same emphasis that the Scriptures do. We need this information about the Antichrist for two reasons. First of all, we need it for our edification and for our protection. And secondly, there are certain tendencies in operation in this world today that makes it clear that such a person will soon appear on the scene. We're seeing evidences of it today. Here in the United States of America, it's becoming apparent to us that he's coming. So we need to be able to, as the Bible says, discern the signs of the times. It's here for us. It's information God has given us. We need to know it. Basically, there are four books in the Bible that give us the majority of information about this Antichrist. Two in the Old Testament, two in the New. In the Old Testament, you have the book of Isaiah, you have the book of Daniel. In the New Testament, you have Paul's epistle to 2 Thessalonians. And you have John's book called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. That's where you'll get most of your information in the Bible about the Antichrist. Now, he's called Antichrist. We know that anti means in opposition to or against. So his method of opposing Christ, Antichrist, is actually in the stead of or imitating or usurping the position that Jesus Christ should hold. He wants to be the Christ. So when he comes, he's going to rise head and shoulders, as it were, above men in general, And he's going to be given worship that belongs to deity. Instead of the Catholics worshiping God and Jesus and Mary and the saints, they're going to have image of the Antichrist in the church. The Muslims will have the image of the Antichrist in their mosques. The churches will have the image of the Antichrist in their church. The Jews will have the image of the Antichrist in their temple. The whole world will worship him as God. All the religions of the world. Now, he's going to be sensational. He's going to be spectacular. He's going to be supernatural. He's known as that man of sin. He's known as the wicked one. And the only law that he recognizes will be that of his own sinful desires. I want to read a few verses from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 with you tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's begin in verse 1. Paul writes, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our gathering together unto him." So notice the context of this is what? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. "That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day," what day? That day of Christ. "That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And what? That man of sin be revealed." That man of sin, that's the Antichrist. When's he going to be revealed? He tells us right here. "That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Then he'll be revealed, the son of perdition." What about him? "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Then Paul says, "Remember ye not that while I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time." He said, now you know what it is that restrains his appearing, that keeps him from coming on the scene now and people recognizing him. You know what withholdeth. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed." Here's your revelation of the Antichrist. The wicked one will be revealed when that restraint is removed. When he that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. "Then that wicked one will be revealed, whom the Lord," here's his end, "whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So he's talking here about those who are on the face of the earth that did not go up to heaven in the rapture, in the first resurrection. They were left behind. They were left behind. They are the unrighteous. They are the ones who are perishing. Why? Because they received not the truth. They received not the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, here's what's going to happen. God shall send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Paul tells us over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, he writes these words, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming." He's going to use this word transforming three times here. Transforming, that means changing. Changing in appearance to deceive. Changing in appearance to deceive. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Not real apostles, but they are changing themselves into the appearance as apostles of Christ. And the people will believe them. He says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Now, when I was growing up, I knew what Satan looked like because they used to have some type of chili or something like that that had his picture on the wrapper of it. Do y'all remember that? Huh? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, he's all red and he's got horns and he's got a tail. He's got a spearhead out there on the end of it. And, you know, I knew what Satan looked like. I grew up knowing what Satan looked like. Red hot, yeah. What were they advertising, Gene? You remember what? Was that chili or something?
Yeah, it was a chili with a hot fiery chili.
A hot fiery chili.
Yeah, and there was a candy called Red
Hot. Did it have one of them on there too?
I think so.
It did. Anyway, we saw pictures of him, so we knew what he looked like. So if somebody walked in looking like that, we'd automatically know who he was, wouldn't we? But if he transforms himself and changes himself into the appearance of an angel of light, that would be a whole different story, wouldn't it? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers... Wait a minute. Satan has ministers. That's what he tells us here. His ministers also be transformed, changed in appearance for purposes of deceiving, transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Now John, in his writing, in his epistles, uses the name or the term Antichrist five times. I want to read them to you. He does not speak of him as with that definite article, the Antichrist, but he uses the term Antichrist here, and from this we learn some of the characteristics of Antichrist, of an Antichrist. In 1 John 2:18, John writes, "Little children, it is the last time." It's the last time. You know, John and Paul and those guys that lived nearly, 1900 years ago, they thought they were living in the last days. We think we're living in the last days. I just wonder, when they look down and see us down here in 2011, they say, "You mean to tell me that he hasn't come yet?" They were looking. The saints all through the ages have been expecting Christ. Every generation has expected the rapture to take place in their lifetime. And John says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come." Now what's the context of his coming? Associated with the last time, isn't it? "Even now," he says, "there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." John, you ought to be around now. In chapter 2, verse 22, he says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" Christ there is a Messiah, the one that God had promised throughout all the Old Testament. He was the fulfillment of all of the prophecies in the Old Testament, see. He's the promised one, the Messiah. And anyone that denies that, he says, is a liar. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. In chapter 4 and verse 3, he uses it again. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, but this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." In 2 John verse 7, "For many deceivers are entered into the world." Deceivers, he's talking about. That's one of the marks of the Antichrist, isn't it? Deceit. "Many deceivers have entered into the world who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." So an antichrist is one who denies that Jesus is the Christ and that Jesus has come in the flesh, that he was God manifest in the flesh. Now, in this same context, we remember what Jesus said recorded over in Matthew chapter 24. In verse 5, he said, this is the words of Christ, "Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive," there's a word deceive again, "shall deceive many." And in verse 24, he says, "There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders." You know, when Jesus gave the apostles power to perform miracles, even to the raising of the dead, the miracles that they performed were to be signs or evidence that they were of God. So when the false Christ comes, the Antichrist comes, he'll come with signs and wonders, miracles and such as this, as his credentials that he is God. The Jews came to Jesus Well, it was Nicodemus in there in John chapter 3. No man can do the things that thou doest except he come from God. So he was a ruler of the Jews, and he was persuaded that Jesus was of God when he saw the miracles that Jesus performed. And when the Antichrist comes with lying wonders and signs and things like that, the people are going to say, he's of God. He's of God. So out of the social chaos of the time, and remember now that the Antichrist will be appearing right after the rapture of the saints. All of the Christians, all of the believers will be removed from the earth. The dead in Christ shall be raised first. That's the first resurrection. And then those of us who are alive at that time will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and will be caught up together with them, the resurrected saints. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we're going to be gone. We won't be here. Now, compared with the 7 billion people that are alive on the face of the earth today, the number of truly born again believers is relatively few. The disciples asked Jesus one time, are there few that be saved? Few is a relative term, isn't it? Out of 7 billion, the number of Christians will be few. But there are enough to make a difference. Because look at the jobs. Every Christian is taken away and he doesn't show up for work the next day, because he's with the Lord. The unemployment rate will drop drastically. There'll be lots of job openings in a lot of places. So the Antichrist won't have much of a problem when it comes to the unemployment situation. He's going to be looking for people to fill the vacancies that have been left by the raptured Christians. He's going to come as a savior of society. He's going to rise up out of the troubled conditions of the world and offer himself as a solution to the problem. And this mystery of iniquity will come commissioned of the devil, energized by Satan himself. And he comes, we read the verse in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, he will come with God's own assistance. God is the one who is unleashing him upon the world, so to speak. But you understand this. The influence and the power of sin will shape and mold itself into this human personality, this body of flesh that will be known as the Antichrist, the embodiment of evil. Just as righteousness was the robe of Christ, so lawlessness will embody itself in this creature from the bottomless pit. And the billions of unbelievers on the earth will have so maneuvered themselves into the position of accepting this false Messiah by rejecting the true Christ. For this cause, the Bible says, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. God sends the strong delusion upon them because he is still in charge in this world.
Amen.
He has not and will not relinquish his control or authority over the world. Satan can only go so far as God's leash on him allows him to go. He can go this far and no more. Now, it's reassuring, isn't it, to know that God has sent him forth. God's still the boss. And he is on a mission of destruction, of deception, of persecution, and devastation. And Jesus has sent him on it. So let's look at the steps in his rise to power. First, the time of his revelation, we said, will be immediately following the rapture of the saints, when the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit through the Church of Jesus Christ ceases to operate. The first move that Christ makes to take back possession of this earth will be to unleash Satan, to turn him loose in the person of the Antichrist. And then second, we notice that he will have a rather inconspicuous beginning. He will appear into the world's chaotic condition, energized by Satan, and will gain recognition by his personality. He will gain the support of the Jewish people by signing a peace treaty with them and letting them rebuild their temple. They'll do it. They'll reestablish their Old Testament form of worship and sacrifice, which is Antichrist. They didn't see Christ in it. It never brought them to Jesus. And eventually, the Antichrist will consolidate all of the world's religions into one great super organization of which he will be the head. Politically, there will be a 10-power confederation of nations that will grant him complete authority over the world. And his control will extend over all countries, nations, peoples, and governments as he reaches his pinnacle of world rulership. The world today is looking for one man to lead the world, the one world government. We see the signs of it already. Now, he will dictate the economy. He will have control of the food supply of the world. And to enforce his mandates, he will have the power of the military at his disposal. So by means of economic and military sanctions, he will compel men under the penalty of death to do him honor. And notice this, Antichrist will reach his ultimate goal and purpose when he secures universal worship of himself as God. He's not so interested in the prestige of being king of the world. He's not interested in controlling all of the wealth of the world. He's looking for one thing and one thing only. He wants to be God. Remember his ambitions set forth in his five I wills of Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. I want to read them to you. This is what caused Satan's fall in the first place, back before mankind was ever invented. I will, this is his first one, I will ascend into heaven. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Above the stars of God. Number three, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. That's his five I wills listed there in Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. But you know what God says? Thou shalt be brought down to hell. He'll have religious power. The Bible says all that dwell in the earth shall worship him. That's what he's after. So that he as God sits in the holy place declaring himself to be God. He'll have economic power because no one on earth can buy or sell without his permission, without his mark or the number of his name. He will have military power. Who is able to make war with him? And then the judgment of God upon the kingdom of the Antichrist will come. His political and his commercial interest in the world will be destroyed. Read Revelation 18. Utter destruction in 1 hour. Count the minutes. 60 minutes. It all comes tumbling down. His military might will be organized and directed in a campaign against Jerusalem, Israel. And the resulting battle is known as the Battle of Armageddon. The Bible tells us that Christ will break through the clouds with his army from heaven at his second coming. And with the sword of his mouth, he will break and crush the power of Antichrist. We read it. With the brightness of his coming, he will destroy all opposition. Antichrist, Daniel 11:45 says, will come to his end, and none shall help him. He will be taken alive and cast into the lake of fire forever. His body will have no grave. That'll be the end of him. He's in the lake of fire. And then Christ establishes his kingdom here on the earth. So it's good to know something about the Antichrist and what's going to happen. You can tell this to your lost friends and neighbors. Tell them what's going to happen to them if they don't accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Raul, will you lead us, please, in our prayer tonight?
hymns and the preaching of your word, Lord. Continue to bless the ministers here.